Jeanne Flavelle's Hot Commodity Podcast Series. Empowering clients with commercial intelligence, supply chain expertise, and risk management solutions.
Good afternoon, everybody. My name is Mike Coughlin, President and CEO of McKinney Flavelle. Today is March 2nd, 2018, and I'm joined by the illustrious Craig Ruffalo, Vice President. Illustrious.
I like that word. Today. Big word on a Friday, Mike. Yeah, That's pretty good.
Wait till they hear what we're going to talk about.
Oh, man. It's going to be an exciting day today.
I'm excited, but yeah. I'll tell you what. I want to talk about some sports stuff because this is a great opportunity for me to do that. Because normally I come home and I talk sports. My wife just kind of walks out of the room.
She tunes you out, doesn't she? Yeah, you know, my wife says the same thing. If it has nothing to do with the kids' sports,
yes,
boom.
Done.
Done.
Well, I'll tell you what. I'm really excited about March Madness coming up, March 11th. I am just so excited. That's a great time to be in
Vegas.
Who
is your first four guys that are going to be the number one seeds this year? Do you have a pick for the number one seeds?
Oh, Lord. I mean, I can just go to 1 through 4 and say these are the 1, 2, 3, 4 seeds. But you weren't here a couple of weeks ago. But I bet our fellow mate, Kevin, that St. Mary's was going to do, our local people.
Yeah. I live in Moraga. I go to their games.
He lives 3 blocks away.
I do.
He's going to go farther than his boys in Kentucky. So yeah. We'll see if they do.
I like your bet, by the way. I think I would take the same bet.
Thank you. The other cool thing going on is spring training. If you've never been to a spring training game, make a trip next year because it's a lot of fun to see it.
That brings back memories because as a kid, my mom's family lived down there in Scottsdale.
Oh, cool.
I used to go and see the Cubs and the Giants play as a kid. I got to see old Billy Buckner play first base for the Cubs
my gosh.
In spring training.
You're dating yourself,
I am dating myself, but figured that would be a kind of an ideal time to talk about it. 70s, man. It was a great time to go to spring training.
Oh, I bet. Well, if you haven't taken advantage of it out there, go do it.
I agree.
Make the plans.
Absolutely.
It's a fun time.
Take the family.
Just don't take my seat.
No, not mine either.
Well, hey, our President Trump is making the news again this week, as he does pretty much every day.
Yeah. What's he tweeted now?
You know, I'm taking his tweeting account away.
I think you ought to.
I gotta take that.
Somebody's got to.
Yeah, somebody step up, please. But anyway, so he made the news this week and he is trying to bring big corn and big oil together in this renewable fuel standards policy that we have.
Yep.
Made a lot of news this week. What is going on with this, Craig?
Well, I think two constituencies that helped get him elected are at odds right now. You had the big oil industry and particularly in the state of Pennsylvania had their largest refiner file for bankruptcy.
Yep.
And claims that the renewable fuel standard and the renewable identification number, or what we call a RIN, is the identifiable culprit of their filing for bankruptcy. And then, of course, you've got Big Ag, and you've got the ethanol industry that helped get him elected, and you've got two industries fighting for one another as to maybe the change for the renewable fuel standard is what you called RFS. And so they're at the White House trying to figure out if they're going to be able to adjust the RFS to make it more palatable for both sides.
Well, what's changed? I mean, what are people's arguments and what are they upset about?
Well, the RINs
are not coming to a conclusion.
You know, the way that the RINs work, or the renewable identification numbers, is that if you're a producer of gasoline or diesel, you must, by requirement under the renewable fuel standard, blend it with an oxygen. In this case, we can talk about corn-based ethanol.
Okay.
And what you're attempting to do in this case is utilize up to 10% of your blend must be of this ethanol. And if you're not actually producing enough, then you can go out and purchase RINs to cover that. And that's at a cost. And they're now hedgeable or tradable. And sometimes there's speculation that goes on in that.
Sure.
So if you're a refiner and you're subjugated to having to purchase these over-the-counter RINs, you may be paying a premium to it, and that could be on the books a cost that you can't recoup maybe in the price of the gasoline.
Got it.
If you're the ethanol industry, right now this is a means to try to encourage people to maximize ethanol to the 10%. But sometimes they don't. And so in order to make sure we get to our theoretical, and I used air quotes there, ladies and gentlemen, that
Nobody
was really
saw that.
Good. to get to the 15 billion gallons, you've got to go ahead and get that blend up there. So there's an offtake going on here between what's right, what's beneficial, and what's hindering each side.
Well, really important is what do you think might happen, and what do you, how do you think it's going to impact our listeners in the commodity space?
The options being discussed, as I understand, are a multitude of ways to try to appease both sides. I don't think this is going to be a win-lose. I think Senator Cruz and from Texas, along with Chuck Grassley of Iowa, are trying to come to a win-win. Both sides are suggesting that eventually this might happen, but there's some things that they're attempting to do to work it out. One is to place a hard cap on the price of a RIN to try not to be over punitive to the oil refiners. The other is maybe to limit the trades on RINs to blenders and refiners to maybe remove market speculation. Another one is maybe count ethanol exports towards our annual volume for biofuel mandate. That's currently not permitted. So these are things that are being discussed. Ultimately, what does this mean, Mike? Is it if the challenge to the RINs could mean that the ethanol industry could be impacted because there's not as much maybe demand required because it doesn't have to be 10%.
So then lead me the way.
Well, the option is that the ethanol industry might say, if we give you that oil industry, we in result want E15 to be approved. So the waiver that EPA has been kind of on the fence on, we want you to allow that waiver to allow for year-round use of E15. Well, what does that do? That immediately jumps the ethanol demand up in real terms and could impact corn prices.
Corn futures.
Could impact futures, could impact wet milling capacity that of guys that are producing ethanol. So there could be additional volume of grind moving towards the ethanol capacities. This is a big deal for our users of corn derivatives.
Yeah, and I'm just thinking from a corn futures standpoint, we've been looking at what's been happening with futures, and of course, it's a big weather market, and you see us breaking up to the upper side and what's going to happen. And we had a great conversation this week internally about that. If something like this and the speculators in particular get involved, boy, that could be a pretty bullish scenario for corn futures in particular. And then and going into negotiations later in the summer and later this year for high fructose corn syrup. And you just said, look, if the ethanol demand goes up by some of these corn wet milling plants, then that could put pressure on capacity and give the wet milling a justification for price increases.
Absolutely, a way that you have to look at this. You have to prepare for what might come down the pike. And if you get that E15, obviously a lot of the ethanol produces through dry milling processes. And so you're going to have the dry milling industry participate. So that's going to be one of the reasons why corn values are going up, particularly cash values. So if you're looking at it from a grain-related situation and cash basis might be in the regional markets, something you have to manage. That certainly is going to be more volatile as we go on.
Okay. Well, that's a great recap, and we'll keep everybody informed. But you know what I'm just sitting here thinking?
Uh-oh.
You know what I should do?
Be careful.
I should go to our spring seminar. If I'm a client out there, I'm going to go to the spring seminar and listen to you give me an update live at our spring seminar on April 25th. In Oak Brook, Illinois, at the La Merindian.
You know, we should have you there.
Well, I should be there. I guess I was like, maybe like, you know, like customers thinking about going, they should go.
Well, everybody should
Everybody
be there.
Should
Who
go.
Shouldn't be there?
And you know what's easy? You can register online. At our website at McKinney-Favell.com.
How could you make it any easier?
I don't know.
I'll even do you one better. I'll send you, if you're a customer of ours, a personal invitation to come join us. Come see us, please.
Come see us.
Well, you know you want to be there. It's going to be exciting. Everybody's going to be there.
So great. Thank you, Craig. Everybody have a great weekend. And hopefully the people up in the Northeast, dealing with that storm.
We said this almost about 2 months ago, right? They had a nor'easter. And the worst phrase, again, in 2018, bomb cyclone. Worst phrase ever.
Unbelievable. So hopefully everybody stays
safe. Stay safe, everybody.
And have a great weekend. Until next week, take care. Live with an attitude of gratitude.
That concludes this podcast episode. For more information, visit us on the web at bikini-favell.com. Also follow us on LinkedIn, Facebook, and Twitter for the latest industry news, updates, and intelligence.